Okay, let's do it. Okay. Today's shiur is the Hilui Nishmas. Rabbi Baruch Tzvi Ben Ruben Nassan, Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit. I guess the best way to encapsulate Dr. Galbit's life is that he was from the Talmidim of Aaron HaKohen. He was an Oiv Shalom, he was a Rodev Shalom. He loved peace, he ran after peace. He was an Oivis HaBrios. He loved all people. The Nitziv explains that Brios even means Anashim Shutim. Simple people, he loved all people. Mikarvan HaTorah, and he brought people to Torah. A tremendous loss for Klal Yisrael and Emirat Hashem. This year should be a schus for his neshama. Talmud comes over to his Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I've been mechalel Shabbos. I've desecrated the Shabbos, what do I do? So the Rebbe, the Rav, would turn to his Talmud, to his disciple, and he'd say, there's the what of tshuva and the how of tshuva. The what is the azivas achet, the leaving the sin, the charata, the regret, the kabbalah mikan lahaba, the acceptance for the future, and obviously the vidoy, the confession. And then the Rambam explains at the end of Halacha Dalid, in the third chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, the darkei hatshuva, the how of tshuva, the way of tshuva, is lios hashev tzoek tomid lifnei Hashem, that he has to repent and cry before Hashem bebechi. He has to cry, he has to wail. And the obvious question is, why is it necessary that he has to cry? Why isn't it sufficient enough to simply regret the sin, to leave the sin, to accept upon himself a new future? Why is it in conjunction with the what of tshuva does he have to cry? Is it perhaps like what the Rambam is talking about, why it's necessary to cry, is because, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Taanios, that crying expresses for all to see how regretful he is for that terrible sin that he did? Is that the reason why the Rambam insists that when he's accepting tshuva upon himself, he has to cry, that everyone should see that he's regretful of his actions and now he's taking upon himself a new future? Or perhaps it's like the Japanese. The Japanese feel that there are health benefits to crying. They've even established crying clubs in various cities in Japan. And they feel that by crying, it relieves stress. So maybe that's really what the Rambam is talking about. That when we are regretful and we leave our sin, we feel terrible about what we did, and maybe by crying, it relieves certain stress. Is that what the Rambam is talking about? Is that why the Rambam is insistent that we cry in conjunction with our tshuva? That's question number one. Question number two is, there's a fascinating Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Daled Amud Beis that tells us a very interesting dialogue between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Yom Echad, there was one day, Havikasachi, Rabbi Yochanan b'Yardena. Rabbi Yochanan was swimming in the Yarden. Chazir Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish saw him, v'shover liYardena basrei. He jumped into the Yarden after Rabbi Yochanan. Amar le, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Reish Lakish and says, Chelech l'oraisa, your strength is fitting for the study of Torah. Amar Lei, Reish Lakish turns to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Shovreich l'nashe, and your beauty is fitting for a woman. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Reish Lakish and says, Yehadranas bach, if you return with me, Yavina lach achosi, I'm going to give you my sister to marry, Dishapira minoi, that's even more beautiful than I am. What was Rabbi Yochanan telling Reish Lakish? Was Rabbi Yochanan trying to tell Reish Lakish, come to the Beis Medrash? Was he telling Reish Lakish, if you come and sit and learn If you study Torah, I'm going to give you my sister. If that's the case, why did he use the expression return with me? Perhaps there would have been a more clear, a more defined way to tell Reish Lakish, come to the Beis Medrash. For example, the Gemara Maseches Ksubos tells us that there was a very wealthy man in Yerushalayim. His name was Kalba Savua, one of the most wealthy people. And he had a very pious daughter. And this daughter witnessed day after day the modesty of Rabbi Akiva. And she turns to Rabbi Akiva and she says, if I agree to marry you, Ozla Lebe Rav, will you go to the Beis Medrash? Amar Le, Rabbi Akiva said, in. Obviously they got married and Rabbi Akiva became the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. That was clearly defined. Kalba Savua's daughter Rachel comes to Rabbi Akiva and says, Ozlas Lebe Rav, come to the Beis Medrash. Not Ihadrasbach, if you return with me. What does that mean, if you return with me? What he should have said is very clearly defined, so there's no way to misconstrue what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. Azlas Lebei Rav, come and return to the house of the Beis Medrash, not return with me. Go to the Beis Medrash. What does it mean, Hadrasbach, return with me? That's question number two. Question number three. Perhaps one of the most enigmatic stories in the entire Torah. The Torah tells us, Vahashem Omar el Avram. Hashem turned to Avram, Acharei hipore Lot me'imo, after Lot left him. And Rashi comes and tells us, what does that mean that Hashem spoke to Avram after Lot had left Avram? Rashi comes and says, Kolzman shaharasha imo. All the while that the Rasha was with him, referring to Lot, Hoyo hadibur poresh mimenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ceased from talking to Avram. What's Rashi talking about? Lot was a Rasha? Where do we ever see that Lot did anything wrong that he's referred to as a Rasha? A Rasha perhaps is reserved for the likes of Korach, V'chol Adaso. That's a Rasha. Amalek is a Rasha. Asks Reb Schwab, V'yitachin shekan tomud kol hasot shel mevilas Lot? Is it possible that the Torah is hiding from us the entire downfall of Lot? Sharei hakosav mara wanu tziyur shel aliyah v'yirida niflo. The Torah tells us that this was a person that traveled in the circles of Avram and Sarai. This was a person that engaged in all of the nisyonos that Avram did. He was a lofty person. He was a righteous individual. Yet Rashi comes and tells us all the while that Lot was with Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't speak with him. How is this possible? V'adayin ein anu yodim sivas Hashem hazeh. We don't even know the reason for this transformation, this precipitous fall from grace. How is it possible that Lot was a tzaddik, and now Rashi comes and tells us, Hashem Omar el Avram, acharei hipare Lot me'imo. What did he do that was so terrible? All the Torah tells us is, v'lo nasa osam ha'aretz l'shevez yachta, that the land couldn't have both of them together. Ki hoya rechusham rav, great property, but lo yachlu ashevas yachdav, they couldn't live together. Vayhi riv bein roei mitnei Avram bein roei mitnei Lot. There was perhaps a quarrel, a fight between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. But to suggest that that is why we refer to Lot as a Rasha, it can't possibly be. But yet we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak with Avram until Lot had left the circle, the inner circle of Avram. And the last question. The Torah tells us in Parshas Toldos, Vaygdilu ha-ne'arim, and the lads grew up. Vayehi Esav ish yodea tzayed ish sodeh. And Esav was an ish yodea tzayed. He was a hunter. V'Yaakov ish tam yoshev oholim. And Yaakov was a pure person who sat in the base medrash. And then the Torah tells us, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav. And Yitzchak loved Esav. What does that mean? That Yitzchak loved Esav. The Torah doesn't speak in guzma. The Torah doesn't exaggerate. Today, we float around the word love. I love you. I cherish you. I love you. I cherish you. My parents are watching at home. I love them, and I really, really do. But love, to suggest that Esav loves, that Yitzchak loves Esav, the Torah doesn't speak in guzma. The Torah doesn't exaggerate. The Torah uses the word love. Vayibieha Yitzchak ke'o'ala sara imo. That Yitzchak came and brought Rivka to the tent of his mother. Vayehaveha, and he loved her. And Rashi comes and explains, why is it that he loved her? He loved her because she had the dugma sara imo. That she resembled Yitzchak's mother Sarah. She called man Shesara Kayemes, that all the while that Sarah was alive, Hoyaner Dolok Ner Shabbos Ler Shabbos. The candles were lit from Shabbos to Shabbos. Ubracha Mitsuya Ba'isa. There was blessing in her dough, Va'anun Kosher Ala Ohel. And the tent hovered over the cloud hovered over the tent. That's why Yitzchak loved Rivka. The Torah uses the word ohev, love, to demonstrate a love that's fostered and that's brought about because someone is doing mitzvos and following the ways of Hashem. That's why Yitzchak loved Rivka. But to suggest that Yitzchak loves Esav, to use such a strong word, we don't use that word flippantly in the Torah like we would today when we encounter someone that we haven't seen in a few years. Then how do we understand Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav? And don't think for a moment that because Yitzchak was a blind person that he duped Yitzchak. It's not true. Because Chazal tells us that the Avos Yitzchak Avinu was able to see things that the eyes didn't see and hear things that the ears didn't hear. Then how is it possible that the Torah is going to come and tell us that Yitzchak loved Esav? Rav Galinsky in his Sefer V'Higata Torah tells us that the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav is because when Esav stood in front of Yitzchak, Amar be'emes b'chil ur'ada, he stood in awe. He was in fear of his illustrious father Yitzchak. Havin shepo ha'emes. He understood that here is truth. Vizu haderech, and this is the proper way. Ve'ein bilta, there's nothing except the way of Yitzchak. She'ashrei misha omo ba'Torah, that praiseworthy is the one that toils in Torah. Ve'osenachas ruach liyotzro, and is pleasant to his Creator. Ashrav ba'olam hazeh v'tov lo la'olam haba, praiseworthy and good for him in this world and in the next world to come. Yitzchak, when he saw Esav, he saw a person that was like Yaakov. He saw a person that had committed himself to the ways and the values of Yitzchak and Avraham before him. When Esav stood in the presence of Yitzchak Avinu, the only thing that Esav can think about is learning Torah and doing mitzvos. Rav Galinsky continues, And he says, Habaya Haisa. The problem was, Shekasher Yotza Hakol Parach, that when he left the presence of Yitzchak Avinu, everything vanished. He once again became Ish Yodea Tzayit Ish Tzadeh. He became a man that was flippant, that was frivolous, that was a batlon, that was mufgar. He became a murderer. When he was in Yitzchak Avinu's presence, he felt godless. He saw Hashem. And he acted with great reverence. And he decided, that's the way of life. I want to live my life as a God-fearing Jew. But once he left his presence, he became a murderer. I ask a question. Are we any different? Are we really different than Esav HaRasha? During Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we're tzaddikim. We're getting up in the morning and we're doing things that we never would do over the course of the year. And once these 10 days leave us, Hakol, everything, Parach vanishes. We become no different than Esav. Esav was vacillating. Esav was one way in front of his father, and he was someone totally different when he left his presence. And we, when we're standing lifnei Hashem, these are the days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most felt in our lives. And we act in awe. We stand at attention in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And once we leave these days, once the days of awe are over, it all leaves us, it evaporates, and we become batlon mufgar. We become irreverent to anything holy. As Eliyahu Hanavi came and pronounced in Malachim Aleph, he gathered all of Klal Yisrael together. And he said, Ad Mosai Atem Psachim Al Shtei Haseifim. How long are you going to be straddling the fence? Im Hashem Elokim Lechu Acharav. If you're going to join HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then follow him. V'im HaBal. And if it's going to be Avodah Zarah, Lechu Acharav, follow him. Eliyahu was proclaiming to Am Yisrael that it's better to be someone that worships idols. It's better to follow the Baal. It's better to live a life of only idol worship than to be straddling the fence. We can't have a life where during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, it's Omei Lefnei Hashem, and then once these days leave, we're Mufgar Umavutal. It can't be that I act one way in my office and when I come to my community, I act a different way. It can't be that I act one way in my home and to my neighbors, I act a different way. We can't straddle the fence. We can't be Al Shtei Haseifim. It doesn't work. And the prototype of straddling the fence is none other than Haran, the brother of Avraham. As the Medrash tells us, that Haran chasha bilibo, that Haran thought in his heart, im yigaber Avraham al hamelech, If Avram will overcome the king, referring to Nimrod, Halachti Acharav, I'm going to follow him. V'im Yigober HaMelech, and if the Melech Nimrod overcomes Avram, Halachti Acharav, I'm going to follow him. This episode happened in Or Kasdan. Avram Avinu was taken by Nimrod and told, if you don't follow Avodah Zarah, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. Avram refused. Haran was with him. Haran had a choice as well. Haran said, if Avram will be victorious, I will follow his way of life. And if Nimrod is victorious, I'll follow his way of life. And ultimately what happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani yachid ba'olami v'hu yachid ba'olamo. I am a yachid, I'm an individual, and Avram is the individual in this world. Noel yachid lohatil is a yachid. It's fitting that me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the yachid of the world, will save the yachid in the world. And ultimately what happened, Vayered Hashem, that Hashem went down, and he saved Avram min ha'esh, v'lo nisrav, and Avram was not burnt. But Haran, Tekov Nisraf, he was immediately burnt. Ya'an, says the Medrash, because lo haya levavo shalem mim Hashem, that his heart was not complete with Hashem. His heart was only 50% with Hashem, and the other 50% was with Nimrod and Avodah Zarah. Haran was the prototypical person that was straddling the fence, would not commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Eliyahu HaNavi tells us, it's better to pick a side than to try to be in both worlds. And we all know that Haran was the father of Lot. I believe that Lot was never a tzaddik. Lot was always worse than a rasha. Because Lot, like his father, was that human being that straddled the fence, had no religious commitment. What he felt, depending upon the day, is how he would choose. No religious conviction. As the Pasuk tells us, Vayomer Avram el Lot. Avram turned to Lot, Al Nati Meriva. There should not be a fight between me and you, between our shepherds. Hallo kol ha'aretz nefanecha. The entire land is before us. Hipori na me'alai. Leave me. Now listen to these words. These words encapsulate the ambiguity of Lot's life. Im hasmol ve'imina. Avram Avinu turns to Lot. And he says, if you go to the left, I will go to the right. Vim hayomin, and if you go to the right, I will go to the left. Essentially, Avraham Avinu is telling Lot, stop straddling the fence. Pick a side. You can't have both right and left. You can't have both worlds. You can't have the Baal, and you can't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to pick the right, I'll pick the left. And if you're going to pick the left, I'm going to pick the right. But you gotta make a choice in life. Lot was a perennial straddler, just like his father. And his children, Lot's daughters, were just like their father. A lack of clarity coming and lying with their father. Not being able to see with clarity. A blurred sense of right and wrong. Because that's what they learned from their father Lot. And that's exactly what Lot learned from his father Haran. Lot was never a tzaddik. Lot was worse than a rasha. Because someone that has ambiguity, religious ambiguity, not willing to commit, feeling that he could have both the Baal and Hashem. It's impossible. The Gemara asks a question. We recite Hallel on Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael from destruction. Why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? The Gemara gives many answers. One of the answers that the Gemara gives is because it's impossible to recite Praise to Hashem if in addition to being Ovdei Hashem, we are also Ovdei Achashverosh. I believe what the Gemara is telling us is that you can't have it both. You can't praise Hashem while simultaneously bowing down and praising Achashverosh. You can't have it all. It's got to be either right or left, either Baal or Hashem. There can't be any ambiguity. It's either Hashem or not. So how does one rid himself of this religious ambiguity? How does one commit to one way of life? How does one commit to living a life as an Eved Hashem, as a servant of God? And the answer is repentance, teshuva. But it's not repentance where I come and I go, Al Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha. It's a unique type of tshuva. It's a tshuva, it's a repentance by returning to our most pure state. As the Maharal tells us, Ki HaTshuva Hi La'adam. That real tshuva is a person returning back to himself. Ki ha'adam nivra b'tchilaso b'lo chet. That man was created originally without sin. And as the Chochmas U'Musar explains, the most exalted level that man could achieve is the level of man himself. The most high level that man can accomplish is being able to revert back to the way he was originally. Beli chet, without sin. How does he do that? How do we return? How do we repent by returning? How do we do it? There was once a king, and the king had a rebellious son. And the king turned to his son and said, I have to banish you from the kingdom. I can't have you live in my palace. And the king banished his son to a faraway land. And for year after year after year, the prince was banished and he worked as a blacksmith. And he was dirty and disgusting. Until finally one year, he hears that the king, his father, is coming to his town. And there's going to be a procession. And the people from this town are going to line the streets. And the king is going to make his way down the street. And finally the son sees his opportunity to once again come face to face with the king, his father. The king comes. The king makes his way. The son tries to get to the front of the line. to no avail. The king continues on. The son tries again. Finally, he sees his father and he screams, Abba, Abba, Father, Father. And the son looks at him and turns away. And the procession continues going. It continues on along the main town road until finally the son once again catches up to the father, and again the son screams out, Abba, Abba. But now, in addition to the scream, the son begins to cry. And when the son cries, the tears wipe away the black from this son's face, and now the father recognizes his son. It's a repentance by returning to your most original state, the state that you were in when you didn't have any agendas, when you had nothing that was holding you back, when there was nothing between you and your Creator. You're repenting by returning to your original state. And that's the tear. The tear is the only thing, the only object, the only tool that a person has from the time that he was a little boy. There are no agendas attached to the tear. A person davens. A person can be davening because he needs something. There's ulterior motives. He wants people to see how pious he is, and he shuffles and he davens. But the tear is free of any agenda. The tear affords a person clarity to return to his original state. It's repentance by returning. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was telling Reish Lakish. Don't simply repent, but repent by Hadratzbach. Repent by returning to your most exalted state. And the Tosfos Yom Tov tells us that Reish Lakish mitchila yodea harbe. Reish Lakish was originally, before being the greatest of thieves, before being the greatest bandit, he was a Torah scholar. But then he became an Am Haaretz, va'osei balistios, and he engaged in robbery, in thievery. And then Rabbi Yochanan saw him, and Rabbi Yochanan said, don't simply repent, but repent by returning to your most exalted state. For Reish Lakish, it was returning to when he was a Talmud Chacham. For us, we return through our tears, because tears is the greatest manifestation and the only manifestation to a time when we were at our most pure state, when we are babies. And that's why the Gemara says that Shari Tefillah, the gates of prayer are closed, but the Shari Dima, the gates of tears, are still open. Because Tefillah, there's agenda. It's not pure. It's impacted and affected by life's experiences. But the tear is pure. It reminds us and reminds Hashem that we're repenting by returning to our most basic original state, which is the most exalted state that man could accomplish. In the early 1950s, there was an elderly man that wasn't well, and he went to his doctor. And his doctor said, if you want to live, you have to move to a warm climate. The choice is either California or Florida. The man was a God-fearing individual. He felt, even though there was very little Yiddishkeit in Miami Beach, Florida, there was more Judaism or Yiddishkeit there than in California. And this elderly man with his elderly wife moved down to Miami Beach, Florida. Him, his wife, his children, daughters-in-law, and grandchildren. It was the middle of the year. This man's son, daughter-in-law, and small children began to settle in. And the first thing that this daughter-in-law did was take her two children to the Hebrew Academy of Greater Miami, knocked on the principal's office, and said, my kids need a yeshiva education. Admit them to your school. The principal said, I'm sorry. It's the middle of the year. There's no room for your children. Enroll them in public school and come back to me next year. We'll find a space. The mother of these two boys was incredulous. What does that mean? How can you accept my children? They need a Torah education. He wouldn't relent until finally this woman turns to her two small boys and says, my dear children, cry and cry and cry. Your tears will open up this principal's heart. And Kachavi, that's exactly what happened. These two boys began to cry and cry relentlessly until finally the demos, the tears, the pure tears of these small children impacted and affected the heart of this principal. And ultimately, the principal took chairs and admitted them on the spot into that school. That elderly man was my great-grandfather. That woman was my grandmother. One of the boys was my uncle, and the other one was my father. It's those demos. It's those tears. The pureness of those tears which opens the heart, which opens the gates, which opens the book of Hashem, which allows us to be written in the book of life, and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our tshuva. Do we cry because it relieves the stress? No. Do we cry to show our angst? No. We cry because it's the greatest manifestation of man's purity. It's the only thing, the only tool that will knock and destroy the gates for Hashem to once again accept us and write us in the book of life. Have a Gemar Chasima Tov.